You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jin. Happy birthday.
Oh, I'm very grateful for my birthday.
Yeah.
You know what we're going to talk about today? Grateful. Being grateful.
The fruit?
Aren't you grateful?
Okay.
Aren't you? Yes. We're talking about gratefulness and the impact of gratefulness. I can't even say it. Gratefulness on your mental health and well-being. The secret of it. How it works.
Okay.
And why we should be thankful. Thankful for many things in our life.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you for that. Here it is. It's the secret impact of gratefulness. So gratefulness, in our little drawing here, is the picture of the brain we stole from last week's presentation. But the frontal cortex is highlighted because we were kind of talking about that being the logic, the planning, the calculating part of the brain. And where we make a lot of our decisions, well, the decision to be grateful, consciously grateful, can have a severe, profound, and beneficial effect on your well-being, on your relationship with others, on your outlook to life, on your medical conditions, on anxiety, on depression, on so many things. It can be a positive impact.
And I believe because typically the human being complain a lot. So complain in your mind. You can also complain, maybe not verbally, but you, that is this. Yeah. Complain is a positive of gratefulness. So thinking how much you spend your time complain versus be thank you.
Exactly. That's what's wrong with people. They complain so much. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Or we can say that's what's great about people. They're always thankful for things. Mm-hmm. And the more people, if we can turn this into a spirit of thankfulness, this communication we have with each other, and real thankfulness, and that's where this all started was, you know how people just toss around please and thank you because you're told as a social norm to say please and thank you. Oh, please, thank you.
They're really feeling that.
But yeah, that's right. So does feeling it make it different? And my premise, our thought behind this is that when you really are grateful, when you're really thankful, you need to be more than just tossing a word out. It has to be heartfelt. It has to have some meaning. And sometimes it's difficult for us to assess our own feelings and share them with somebody else. But like at work, can you be grateful to someone? Oh, thank you. You know, thank you for doing that because you're really good at doing that. You can do spreadsheets. I can't. And I really appreciate your talent. It's different than just saying, hey, thank you. You know, or how you doing today?
The capacity to recognize and describe what it would be, thank you.
So it is recognizing the benefit that others are providing to us and why we're grateful for that. And the observation of that in our life, the consciousness, well, let's call it be gratefully conscious or consciously grateful.
Yeah.
We should try that. So, typically, we like this chart here because we always go back to the Pavlovian stimulus response of the dogs where the bell's rung and they have the saliva effect without having to think. It's just a trained reaction and that humans have this thought. So we're going to follow down this path of the thought, our ability to think, our ability to observe ourselves and how we're thinking, how we're feeling, how we're behaving, and then deciding how we're going to, quote, code and change ourselves. And in today's program, we're going to talk about programming ourselves to be grateful. And I think part of that is understanding why it is a benefit to be grateful.
For yourself and also for your people around you.
People will want to do more for you when you're grateful. You'll want to do more for them. You'll feel more a sense of community, a sense of belonging, a sense of culture at work, at home, in public,
in private.
In private. Thank you, honey. Really appreciate it.
For what?
Nothing.
Not the recognition.
I appreciate you getting everything together for today, special birthday day, with so many people here. Upstairs, not near our studio. We're trying to keep them quiet while we have this little program and we're putting together, and a lot on the plate today. A lot on the plate. To go more into the thought, self-observation, coding, let's talk about this, is that we think, we have thoughts, we can observe what those thoughts are. We've discussed and we agree that we can then learn new information and program ourselves to think differently. It all starts in the consciousness. It starts in our frontal cortex. It starts in our ego. We can't subconsciously do something. We can consciously tell ourselves we're going to do something to help program our subconscious. Neuroplasticity comes in where we're adding to our thoughts. Because the brain can grow and learn new things, we can learn these new things. And this is where we wanted to get to today, is that by being grateful, I'm going to stop there for a minute, but by being grateful and consciously being grateful, we can build parts of our brain that are grateful.
Okay.
We can build thankfulness around interactions with people. We can see them in a positive light and build actual brainwave thought processes that are connected to people, to interactions, to life. And we start seeing, you know, they say, look at life through rose-colored glasses, or, oh, you're looking through rose-colored glasses, which is an expression of you're seeing everything beautifully because everything is painted a certain color. Well, that is what conscious and which will become some subconscious gratefulness is. It's actually constructing your own pair of rose-colored glasses, because life is perception.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have all these things going on around us. They are what they are, but they're only meaningful to us in how we assign or define them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's so much stuff going on in our life that we can choose to define that stuff how we want. And in defining it in that way, we create our actual reality.
Yeah. Your own environment.
Right, we interface with our environment, with our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our ears, our hands. That's how we interface. But if we really like looking at stuff more than we like hearing, we tend to see things more than we hear. If we like to hear things more than we see, we tend to hear things more. So two people who have different senses, different sense, not sensibility, but could be sensibility, different what they like, how they like to interact.
Mm-hmm.
If they interact with the world differently, they will see the same stuff, and they will see it, feel it, internalize it differently.
Different, yeah.
Therefore, if we see things in an optimistic, grateful, positive light, we actually build that environment around us, because that's what we start seeing. We're incapable of seeing what we don't already believe, what we don't already know, but when we start constructing what we know, we construct this filter for us to see life. So the happier you are, the more grateful you are, the more positive you are in all your interactions, life starts acting that way to you. People start acting
Yes, you create this kind of energy between people.
We're going to talk about a couple of things we can do to create that change in ourselves. One of the things we want to talk about is cognitive dissonance, where different things in our brain, what we're thinking at, you know, different thoughts we have, maybe some values and beliefs. There's an example of this, and one of the examples is you really care about animals and you care about how they are and how they're treated, but yet you like steak. And so you have this, your value one thing over here, animal life, here you value the taste of beef, and in your mind that creates a stress, and that creates this dissonance, this unharmony, non-congruency. That is how we use this new way of thinking to change our behavior. Oh, what do I mean by that? We'll get more into that in a minute here. The point is that once we have all these things going on in our, let's go back to thought, observation, coding, neuroplasticity, how we feel about something, how we feel about what we're about to do, we then do an action. We have our response to all this. So I've created this whole long list of things we can do before we respond. And we think about response now, but we also think about programming it for the future. We get a reward from it. What is the reward? The reward is somebody's really happy and it makes us feel good. The reward is I get this thing done and accomplished and I no longer have to worry about it. The reward is something, it can be negative too. You know, like I decided I just felt more, it was more important for me to sleep another half hour than go to work this morning, and I got chewed out by my boss. Well, that's a reward. It's a negative reward, right? It's a penalty. But based upon everything we do, we end up with this reward. And in behavioralists, we'll say this is what creates our behavior.
Yeah.
So it's a long list of things. But once we understand all this, we can actually change ourselves. I remember years ago, I used to joke a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't believe.
But I would communicate with people and joke a lot in communication. Mm-hmm. It was always, I'd always try to have fun and be positive, no matter if they were my boss, somebody I worked with, or if I was coach of a little league team and it was one of the players. You know, so no matter my position, I joked with people mm-hmm. because I wanted to have that type of fun relationship. And one day, a gentleman I met, this was back in, I don't even want to say the year, 1991.
And not boring this time.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But he owned a carpet store. And I went in and I was joking with him as I was looking for carpet for my quote, first home. It was a little town home. And I joked with him. And, you know, he was the owner of this big carpet store. And here I am, this, whatever, 20-year-old kid in the store joking with him, not looking at level, not looking at differences, not looking that I'm trying to buy from something from him. I'm just relating to him as a person because that's how I was. It wasn't trying to get anything out of the deal. But he said to me, you know, and this is something that I remember from years ago. He said to me, is he goes, that sense of humor you have with people, never lose it. So that way you interact with people, that is something that will help you with success. And it's that attitude how you come across.
And I'm still with this guy.
Did you know this? Did I ever tell you this story?
No, never. It was my first time.
Yeah, so there's things that Lizette doesn't know about me yet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cognitive dissonance.
No. Yeah, yes, exactly. So weird.
Speaking of cognitive dissonance.
Okay.
So I wanted to get back into this because we kind of defined it how we want. We as engineers, mm-hmm. Lizette and I, have a way of just basically cognitive dissonance to us is when things don't match up, your actions don't match up with your thoughts, which don't match up with your beliefs, any of these things don't match, something feels out of kilter, you change one. That is a easy definition to understand, is that it's just the disharmony, the incongruency of these things. The actual, this is a definition from, I don't know if it's Psychology Today or one of the textbooks, but we have an aversion to inconsistencies.
Ooh. Inconsistencies.
Thank you. Within people have these aversions within their own minds. They want to adjust their thinking when their own thoughts, words, or behaviors seem to clash with each other. How does that happen? Well, some new information comes into, you read something new, a new study, and you find out what you've been doing you think is good for you. You find out is bad for you, but you really like doing it. And now you have this, I have to figure out if I ignore this new information or if I make a change based upon this new information. Or if we are invited to do something, an activity that goes against maybe our beliefs or our values, but socially we want this interaction with other people, so we're like, I want to do this, but I really, like, it's not who I am, but, and now you have more, this is this feeling of things, a behavior incongruent with a thought, but I want to throw in their feelings, mm-hmm. that sometimes feelings, you know, something we may, and we talk about when we first get into a relationship, we have these chemistries running around that cause us to do things, these feelings mm-hmm. that want to push a behavior that may be against our thoughts, may be against our subconscious, may be against our super ego. Mm-hmm. So, what do we need to do? We, in cognitive dissonance theory, we need to resolve these negative feelings, restore cognitive congruency and harmony. We want everything. Can't we just get along? Can't our brain just get along? All our thoughts get along, our behaviors, our values, our beliefs, our feelings. Can't they all be congruent with each other? Can they be in harmony? When they aren't in harmony, we can ignore that. And a lot of times that's considered anxiety. When we ignore things that are out of kilter with each other and we have this cognitive dissonance, we can have this anxiety. We may be upset. We may have this thing. Or we can address it and we can change some of our beliefs. We can look at our thoughts, change our beliefs, which is our cognition piece, or we can actually change our behavior.
Your action.
Right? Yeah. So think about that. Cognition and behavior is cognitive behavioral therapy.
But you have to be really aware how you're feeling, how you're acting, how you're thinking.
You do. You have to self-observe, which is what Lizette taught me, to self-observe, because a lot of times I didn't see how I was acting.
You'd be distracting.
Huh? What? But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the power, the secret power of gratitude, and how we can program ourselves to be more grateful.
Yeah, and thank you for watching our show.
Thank you for watching. We'll be back in a moment.
Thanks.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and Jim Gulnick. Well, if it's good enough for Francis Ford Coppola, it's good enough for you.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about gratefulness. Thank you for being on the show with me today.
You too. Really. Thank you for inviting me.
Aww.
Oh, I don't have auction.
Come on, let's go.
You should grab me. So,
last week we tried to talk about the id and the ego and the superego and how this fits into gratitude. I want to talk about how it fits into the cognitive dissonance, the gratitude, all these theories, how they fit together in a way. Again, the ego, not being I'm egotistical, but the ego is the conscious part, the mostly conscious part, that kind of floats between what the environment is around us, the context, the situation, the stimulus. It has the feedback from the senses. It is that surface of the human body. It is the eyes, the ears, the mouth. The feelings that are coming from that interaction, those are the inputs into, you know, the stimulus that we are experiencing. The ego is interfacing with that, but it's also interfacing with all the superego's beliefs and values and subconscious and unconscious feelings, as well as the id, which is really inaccessible, but there is stuff that kind of bubbles up. It's like Old Faithful, right? Old Faithful, geyser in the park. There's this constant like urge for things to happen that we can't really put our finger on and our thoughts on. But the ego being in there has to take that all into account. And when it is trying to create an action, you see ego at the end of all this, it is what is thinking. It's deciding. You think you're taking a course of action, right? The ego says, okay, based upon this stimulus and how I feel and all this, I'm going to do this action.
Okay.
So the interesting thing about this is that there are studies that show that by the time you consciously think about this is what I'm going to do, the brain has already had thoughts and the body's chemistry's already changed to do what you haven't yet consciously been aware of choosing to do. That your brain is actually last to recognize what you're going to do. That most of this movement towards what you're going to do is based upon your subconscious. You have access to your subconscious in programming and less connection to your subconscious in conscious thought. So in everyday cognition, or everyday what am I aware of in my environment, what I'm going to do, most of what we choose to do is based upon what we already would have done. What we already would have done based upon our feelings, our beliefs, our values, our past. Mm-hmm. So even though we think we're going to, oh, I'm going to do this, the only reason we're going to do this is because we already would have done that and we are on our way to do that. Again, studies have shown that the brain's activity is already moving there before we recognize the thought of making that decision.
Okay, so it's more fast than your actions.
Well, the actions, if we're thinking we're going to do this, before I consciously said, oh, I'm going to do this as an example, my brain's already formulated, hey, and then pushes up to my consciousness that I'm going to move this and put this here. It's this weird thing, and I don't want to get into it too much today, but there's some good studies on this which show brain activity, body activity, chemistry change before thought is available, telling you that I just decided to do this.
Yeah.
That you've decided to do it when you've decided to do it, before you decided to do it.
Wow.
So if we can consciously program our subconscious in the behavior we want in the future, then it will help direct us to our liked, our preferred responses by already programming ourselves to have that response. That's all I'm saying. So going back into gratefulness.
So simple.
It's so simple. Actually, it's simple and complex at the same time.
Yeah, is this dissonance congruence?
The congruency is this. You become what you think about because what you are thinking about gets programmed into your subconscious. And then your subconscious, it's almost a circular thing. Brain plasticity builds around what you are thinking about, especially when you're working on new stuff. When you work on new stuff and new programs and new information, that's where your brain is building. It also, when we talk about being grateful, and that gratefulness is building around your interactions with people.
And also it's a create the habit for yourself. So when you start to create habit to do something,
yes.
If you do the habit every morning and you say thank you, this is your brain, your body, your action become by this habit, but it's something that you need to doing and doing and doing.
So do you think there's any benefit from being grateful?
Of course.
Let's see what some of the benefits are. The neuroplasticity that we spoke about, the changes in the structures of the brain make us feel happier and more content. So being grateful more often and recognizing things and being thankful for them and putting those thankful, grateful colored glasses on as the filter to our environment make us actually feel happier and more content. It can reduce aggression, frustration, and regret even after receiving negative feedback. What it kind of does is it gives us a protection to negativity.
And also, I don't want the people thinking, oh, it's artificial, thank you. Oh,
no.
You aren't figure out, oh, my tie is flat. Oh, thank you for it's flat. It's not like that, but you have to verify what kind of learning you have in this situation. So when you be a little objective, not extreme positive, not negative, maybe you can learn and then you be thinking.
And you just gave a great example, the flat tire. I got a flat tire. It's so terrible. So I had to get my spare out of the back. I jacked up the car. I took the nuts off the wheel, I put the new one in, I put them on the wheel, and now I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I know how to do that.
So you have ability for it.
I have ability. I'm grateful that I know how to do it. Now, in that case, I knew how to do it, and this has happened in the past, and I was able to take care of it. Great. I'm grateful that I was able to take care of it rather than being stuck on the side of the road until someone could help me. Now, if you don't know how to do that, maybe you're grateful that you had your cell phone with you. And maybe your friend, your partner, your parents, your child helped you out, or maybe a stranger helped you out. And that's where you become grateful for technology, grateful for friends. And so it's changing the situation from only being a bad situation into looking at the positiveness that you have. And maybe you've developed a friendship better and you say, hey, you know what? I owe you one. Please make sure you call me if you have a challenge you need. Mm-hmm. You've developed a deeper bond.
And also the kid with the same example, I used in the past the same example for training. So figure out if you are a lady, okay, mm-hmm. they don't know how change the tire. But you have decision that, or be positive and wait till somebody stop and help you, or crying, or feel angry and kicking out, and it's obsessed with somebody don't or stop and say, you know what? Maybe I keep going because your how you management this situation, you attract maybe at the wrong person, so the wrong
good
situation.
Point.
So that is also the second part. So how you handle this, that is no drama. So that is something that happens, so you need to thinking and the real history of that is I have the experience and years ago, and some guy stopped. So we talk. And then they become my customer for my business because we interchange car, and I'm so grateful because he helped me. And then he said, oh, I have a company and you can help for organize them. And I have more business. So I say, you can see one maybe terrible situation.
Sure.
Can become good depending on how you acting.
And then every week, Lizette would break down on the side of the road and pick up new customers. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Good marketing
Now we
plan.
Have a bar. And I dance. Not
new
so
customers.
Much good customer coming.
You want to know some more benefits?
Okay.
Being positive, being grateful, being thankful can help you have better sleep. It will help you get more exercise, reduce the symptoms of physical pain, lower levels of inflammation, and lower blood pressure. Those are some good things to have.
Mm-hmm.
Very healthy. So being grateful and positive help all around wellness, not only your interrelation with people, but your own well-being, and really help. You know, not 100% help, but it you know, if it moves you towards wellness, it's a good thing to have. What else do we have here? Oh, so not only being grateful, but there are other things you can do. And we talked about cognitive dissonance. We talked about being able to, quote, brainwash yourself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That journaling has been shown to result in 5 to 15% increases in optimism and 25% increase in sleep quality. There's a lot more to it. So beyond that, there was a study done, I believe it was the University of Pennsylvania, that looked at 70 adults with various medical conditions. They put them 50-50%, and I'll actually pull that off the screen, but it put in 50-50% in a group that did this positive effect journaling in a 12-week cycle of writing things positively in their journal. And then 35 who just went through normal medical procedures and normal follow-up. And it showed that this, they did 15-minute web-based sessions 3 days a week. The positive journaling was associated with less depressive symptoms, increase mental positiveness, less distress, increase well-being compared to the baseline. What else do we have here? Greater resilience. So there was a continued resulting positive feedback beyond the scope of the study. So they stopped after the 12 weeks and then they followed up with the study volunteers who had journaled, and it looked like they had even a higher result a month after they stopped. And if they had continued, it would have continued to stay with them. But it did. So not only is journaling good, but what does journaling do?
Mm-hmm.
Positive journaling is basically one of these creating, say you don't feel so good, and you're writing about things you're grateful for, and you're writing about how you are making a little bit of improvement, that it is kind of creating this cognitive dissonance, because maybe you didn't feel that way, and then you start writing that, and you're going, well, maybe I actually do feel this way. So it is creating a difference in maybe what you were thinking, and it creates a non-congruency in your thoughts. But if you're doing it regularly, repeatedly, it's building a habit.
Yeah. And also for 90 day right now, you remember our book. So yeah. So many people, they're using our book to write, say that is a therapy. So maybe it's not necessary that you write your book because you want to be famous, but it's for your own. Try to put in paper this kind of your life, your experience, your knowledge, and this way you have your own therapy, and maybe somebody read and learn from you. So
that's exactly it. The writing of your story. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people want to write about something that happened in their life because they think it can impact others, but they just can't get started. And by doing this thing, it is, okay, I'm going to write a book about this thing that happened in my life, and they follow our 90-day book writing course, and they just start following it, and they're doing something a little bit every day. And we talk about repeated, small, incremental repetition is the best way to learn, mm-hmm. rather than trying to do it all in 5 hours one day and then nothing for a week. A little every day. In 90 days, you can accomplish a lot. Just look like, wait, accomplished in 90 days. So let's go on to the next slide here. This is writing to other people. So when you write a letter of gratitude to somebody, it's been shown to, this is actually a letter of gratitude, and this is for yourself. It can reduce feelings of hopelessness in 88% of suicidal inpatients. So people who were in patients with suicidal thoughts, when they started writing positive things that they are grateful for, 88%, that's a huge number. That's 11 in 12 people.
Wow, that is high.
It's a high number.
The therapy to write.
Or one in 11 people.
Yes,
yeah.
doing. And also maybe 10. every night or every morning. I was in one hotel, I don't remember, I guess it's in Mexico, and the hotel have an interesting template in the bed. They say, write what did you achieve today, write what do you want to do tomorrow, and have a pen. So I love it. So I do. I say, that is a good way to you do before go to bed.
And that's, I think some of these day planners have those things in them too, like what are your goals for this week? And they mm-hmm. have not only work-related goals, but they have maybe family goals, personal goals, health goals. And when you start doing that, it seems funny in a way. It's like, oh, you know, that just seems so fake. Well, there's an expression of fake it till you make it. And we don't actually mean that, but it's do the things you want to do until they become natural for you to do, and then you'll continue doing them. And it's not faking it. It's just saying, I want to do that. I want to,
you know. It's like the visualization. So I believe so much, you know. So they have the board and put the logo right now. I start to put more logo about customer they have. It's visualize. You see, you're sitting every day. You know that you're doing every single step is for achieve something that you want.
And I'm just a circle on the wall of her dream board.
Yeah. Cross like that.
I have
not touching.
Got it.
Not touching is mine.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about being grateful, being thankful. Thankful that everyone's so forgiving of my slips of the tongue and mispronunciation periodically, I hope.
He acting like me. We'll be talking with accent, I see.
We'll be right back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about being grateful and the secret, the impact of being grateful and how it impacts, the impact of being grateful and how it impacts, and the effect it has on our life. So a couple of more things that we want to get on the medical side and the health and well-being side, which is the expression in writing, the benefits in patients with autoimmune, inflammatory conditions, arthritic conditions, lupus, we have cancer, what else do we have here? People with blood pressure, lowering blood pressure, experience of a heart attack, reducing symptoms, reducing medical appointments, reducing the amount of time medical medicine has to be administered afterwards. There are many beneficial effects of being grateful. We talked about writing things down about your life that you're grateful for, and some people who want to write books. We mentioned a book called, it's called Right Now. This has been out for a little bit. It's a book on how to write a book. It's basically,
yes,
it's a book on how to write a book. It's a page by page, follow it over 90-day period, is going from something in your mind to something published. Shows you how. It's
easy.
Kind of what we do
easy
in our process.
Yeah.
Easy to read, quick to go. Any questions you have on it, let us know. But it's called Right Now.
And it's available in Amazon.
Available in Amazon. It's another 90-day Soulmate product. So you can look up 90-day Soulmate and Right Now. Or our names, Jim Golnick, Lizette Guevara. It's a way to write a book. Write a book about a subject that you have passion about,
mm-hmm.
that you
want
to share.
Maybe the new book is called Grateful.
Grateful. 90 Day Gratefulness.
Yeah, who knows?
Aren't you glad?
Let me start to the draft.
Not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing. Employees who experience more gratitude at work, both giving and receiving, they report fewer depressive symptoms and stress. So being grateful, again, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. Thank you for doing that spreadsheet for me. You know so much. You're so good at that. I would love to learn a little bit more about how you do that. But in the meantime, thank you for doing that. If there's some way I can help you in the future, really appreciate it. Not just a, here you go, thank you, or thanks. That there's that.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
How you doing? Good. How you doing? Hey, how you really doing today? How was your weekend? Now, what did you do this weekend?
Yeah.
There's the level of the tip of the iceberg where you're just making some sort of communication. There is where you're starting to hit water with the, you know, getting a little bit more involved in the person underneath that just general communication. And then there could be the part where it's too deep. You're going too far because you don't know the person well enough yet, right?
Mm.
So there is always that feeling of, say enough, be connected enough, but only be connected in a reciprocity point of view, which is if you feel the conversation going back to a certain point, be natural. There is a natural tendency for people to be protective of themselves until they get to know you. So it's like when you see somebody at the store and you're thanking them, you gave them money and they're thanking, and then you say, thank you. No, really, thank you, appreciate it, appreciate you being here today. That's an odd conversation, but I'm glad you're here today because, you know, otherwise I couldn't buy this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to say, hey, how was your weekend? What did you do? Well, I don't know you. I don't want to tell you. Maybe I do. Maybe you're cute. Hi, Lizette. What did you do this weekend?
Okay, go back.
Back. Whoops. Wrong one. We'll go here. Final thoughts. Oh,
okay.
How do you become grateful more often
in 90 days.
In 90 days. What are some of the things? How can we be more grateful? What are some of the things we can do? Number one, find gratitude in challenging times. I was about to say, find gratitude in changing tires. Right? So reflect on negative or difficult situations and figure out, analyze, self-observe, observe the situation and find out what makes you thankful. List your own qualities, virtues, traits, or strengths that showed themselves in that situation. You know, I was very resilient. I was able to navigate the challenge and figure out the solution. I had a list of people I could call. I have developed friendships that what I met somebody new that now I'm a friend with, and they're going to help me out. I know I can rely on them. What are the positive things? Relationships that have grown. And then personal and on the job. Personal relationships, job relationships. Be thankful in all those things. Yeah. That's one. I keep going to the wrong mouse over here since we have so many computers going. We talked about writing. Mm-hmm. Number two, create a gratitude journal. It will help positively brainwash by the use of cognitive dissonance, by putting more and more positive things down. Remember, you're consciously programming your subconscious, or your ego is putting subconscious programming into your superego, and it becomes part of who you are, right? Do what you need to do until you do naturally what you want to do.
That was that. Yeah.
Track the positives in your life. Ooh, for rainy days. This one I like too. Mm-hmm. This is, you write down good positive things about an experience at work, or how thankful you are for our relationship, or that we got to go on this trip, or our children, or this wonderful birthday party. And you write those things down. And then if you have a really stressful situation going on, you can look back and go, you know what? I got to remember. I look at these things. It's my journal for the rainy day also, when there's a bad day and I want to see all the positives in my life. It helps us reflect on the important things.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good practice.
This is one Lizette can talk about.
So the third, be voluntary. So when you help others and myself, I feel better, okay? I want to be the person helped versus the somebody help me. And this way made me feel like we have purpose in the planet. We can do, and this is our big organization that we create to help more than 85 girls and orphans in Venezuela. So every month that we bring some food or bring some clothes, or somebody need to go to the doctor, we pay the appointment. That is made me feel that I feel so happy, and I feel so, my, like you say, that the mental, I feel better every time,
right,
when I do this action.
So the recognition of what we may take for granted in dealing with and helping the orphan girls who are struggling or had been struggling, but they're now in a situation that are helping them, but seeing what they're going through and everything they need to do. And then you feel, oh my gosh, my life, you know, I'm helping somebody who's in a far worse situation. And I'm moving that focus from myself onto others. And in doing so, I can now be grateful. One, I'm grateful that I'm helping them, because I'm learning so much about what I have. And anytime there's a positive story.
We learn from her. So it's amazing when I talk with some girl, you mm-hmm. know that.
Yeah.
They have the same habit to help others. So this girl make a cake, make a food, and give to the kid is in the street. So you figure out that they believe they're so grateful.
Right.
And help others, but we help there. So it is amazing how the repeating.
And the other thing that I want to bring up about this is that we see these young orphan girls, and I'll say from any age of like 2 to 12, mm-hmm. but they continue to get older, and then new younger ones come in. But they are going through high school, they're going through college, and now they're coming out with this feeling of gratitude and giving. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they're taught with inside the orphanage. We work with them, and we are friends with some that have graduated, moved around the world. And it is amazing to see the impact that they are having on the lives of others. And it truly is them. But to be part of that and learn from them that how they've come and they've worked hard to get where they are, and they feel that now I'm here and able to help others, I'm going to keep doing that. It's
It's a beautiful feeling.
It's
beautiful, beautiful. And one of these is she's graduated, have a master degree. She's in Euro right now. And then two or three or more is in South America and open a restaurant. So you see, it's become from no parents and one orphan home and become so happy and successful person. I can say successful sure. because feeling good and help others. So that is a big secret.
It is a big secret. So let's continue on with this. And by the way, that again is Ayudhavan or Ayudhavan, but let's pronounce it how I would in America, Ayudhavan.org. Mm-hmm. It is a 501c3 corp. It is fully tax deductible to the extent that you can deduct on your taxes a charitable contribution. There are multiple ways of contributing if you'd like. Right there at Ayudhavan.org. Appreciate it. And it is something that Lizette and I have put together, and we've been active for what, how many years now?
Seven, eight years.
The charity for that long, but you've been involved for 15 years with the personally helping.
Yeah, muchas manos.
When in Venezuela as well. A simple thank you to someone else can raise your own happiness. But again, I want to say, make sure that your feelings are congruent and that you're connecting with the person. So there's a connection. It raises the happiness all around you. Writing a thank you letter, like just writing a thank you letter, may help by 5% your happiness. Direct communication of thanks, 20%. The point about that is, what's the difference between writing a letter and directly communicating thanks?
The difference is a lot because you can see the person and the reaction when you talk versus when you draw up in the paper. Yeah.
True connection. Writing something. I remember having to write thank you notes when I was 4 years old or 8 years old. And it was just like, thank you for the sweater. I really like the sweater. Once again, thank you for the sweater. Love, Jim. And it was so difficult. But if I was like, you know what, it's going to be cold this winter. This is really cool, this sweater. I like the design on it. It's green. I don't have any green sweaters. Like, I try to find all the good things in it. And then I really appreciate you looking out for me as blah, blah, blah. That it becomes more of a description of why it's a benefit. And then a thank you for them going out of their way to really think about what I might need rather than just thank you. So it's that connection. And writing a note is one thing, but seeing them face to face and experiencing a little bit of, maybe for me, being shy as a child, not wanting to have that connection because I really didn't want to look someone in the eyes. But when you do have that connection, there is an uplifting of spirit for both of you, because wherever there's two or more combined, the spirit is with you. And it is that connection that binds us all together that we uplift when there's more of us, when we are connected.
Yeah.
Writing a letter, you don't have that same spirit. But when you're in the room with somebody, there is this additional spirit that's with you.
And worse if you use the Google and say, oh, how I can say this, and immediately the intelligent
AI. You just have your AI thanking their AI. And they both just communicate back and forth, and the AI is like, oh, I like you so much. And then the AI has a relationship, runs off together. Another story. Oh, and finally, the fifth is prayer or meditation, that you're connecting your feelings with thoughts. This is another additional way of being thankful. You focus on gratitude and feeling of thankfulness, that in your gratitude for things, really feel it. Focus on what you're grateful for. We need our prayers, and it's similar to journaling. And the reason I say we need our prayers is that whatever your belief is, if there's the all-powerful God, there's the spirit of the universe, if there's just the connection of all of us, is that a prayer, a meditation, puts into your own mind that subconscious programming, that overarching superego set of beliefs and values that help move us towards a certain action and a certain growth and a certain path. And whether it's journaling, prayer, or meditation, when we feel and think and have that connection of our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and they're all congruent, it helps us grow and connect with those around us.
That is the best way you pray.
That's it. So thank you for listening to us today, 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim. Thank you so much for watching us, and we keep going to share with you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.